Well, it's a privilege to be here. I really appreciate Pastor Chris giving me the opportunity to do this. I take it very seriously, and I appreciate it. Thank you. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about worship from the inside out. We've been doing some worshiping today. In fact, I want to start by reading something that's in your bulletin. I read it this morning, and it's pretty awesome. If you'll look under the title of worship on the inside of your bulletin at the bottom, I want you to look at something at the bottom where it says FBC. Do you see that? FBC exists. Sounds like a mission statement to me. I haven't asked anybody. I just assume that's what that sounds like. Okay, so I got my attention. I wonder, I wonder what their mission is at First Baptist. I'm curious. So I read a little bit longer. And it says, FBC exists to make disciples who are transformed through the... Oh, love that. Let's just stop right there. It's not just any disciples, it's disciples that are transformed. That's good. And how's that going to happen? Well, through the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's how it happens. But then I love the next part. You know, I'm a worship leader at heart, so naturally I like it. By what? So what does it say there? I don't know. I haven't seen many mission statements that build right in there into their mission, worship. But that's exactly part of how it happens, along with missions and some things you've been equipping that you put there. Absolutely. So I think I'm safe to say that maybe you guys, because I've seen it, I've observed it. You had us come in last night to work with your choir and your praise and your tech people and everybody to meet with them. And then you allow me to be up here today. I believe that it's safe to say that you as leaders would agree with this, that our end goal is not to produce great worship services. We'll let that simmer for a minute. That'll get you fired in some places. What? What'd you say? Yeah, it is. You're supposed to make some good music up there. Well, obviously, we want to sound the best we can, and I've heard your choir. They sound amazing. They're hitting it. They're doing good. But that's not our ultimate goal. Let me surprise you and tell you that's not what these guys up here are trying to do. I think I know Chuck Johnson well enough to know that's not what he's trying to do. The end goal is not to produce some great worship services. Check this out. Our end goal is to produce great worshipers. Yeah, great worshipers. Now, here's why. If we can work on the worshipers, it's going to help our worship services. Here's how it goes. Who in turn will help us produce some great worship services. You see how it works? It comes back around to bless us. See, I have this dream, Pastor Chris. It hasn't happened yet, and if you do it today, it would probably scare me a little bit because I've never really thought that it could actually happen. But in my mind, my glorified imagination, I can imagine walking in one Sunday morning and about, you know, ready up here, Chuck, to lead these folks. But I don't have to get them too ready because we look out and here's what they're doing. Well, now, I'm curious kind of person. I'm going to send somebody out there and find out I may go myself. What are you doing? I mean, everybody just standing there, and somebody says, we're excited. Okay. Excited about what? Worship. Really? That would freak me out. But he would bless me at the same time. Because our goal isn't to produce some great worship services, to get all the music right is great and well and important. But oh my goodness, fill a room with some worshipers. If you don't sing all the songs they like exactly, if you don't sing my song, I'm not too upset about it. I'm going to praise him anyway. If you don't get all the notes right, I missed a couple today. We won't talk about that. But I'm going to praise him anyway, even if they don't do it all perfectly. Because suddenly it transcends that, and it's about the worship in your heart and in mine. And this is what I think we should go for when we look at worship. And I think it's what Paul was talking about in Colossians chapter 3. You might look it up in your Bible or your iPad or however you look at a Bible nowadays. But I want to tell you that in order to become these better worshipers we're talking about today, we need to first learn, understand how worship really happens. Have you ever thought about that? How does worship actually happen? That's a really good question. Well, I tell you, Paul made it easy for us. He laid it out in two verses. It's all right there explained. So let's look at it. It's Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It's on the screen. Would you read it out loud with me? We'll try to read kind of slow. Here we go, ready? Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with, in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Wow. In that very simple two verses, Paul did an amazing job of summing up how worship happens. There are three directions of worship, three aspects, if you will. We're going to put them on the screen and let you say them out loud with me. The first one is inward worship. Everybody say inward worship. The second one is upward worship. Everybody say upward. And then third is outward worship. Everybody say that nice and loud.
Outward
worship. Now, let's talk first of all about inward worship. If you notice at the beginning of that passage, it said, let the word of Christ dwell richly where? Within you. This is a very, very important key because that's where worship begins. It begins on the inside. Often when I'm teaching on worship, I'll start with the greatest commandment. Does anybody know what that is off the top of your head? Remember the Pharisee came to Jesus and said, hey, what's the greatest commandment? What did Jesus tell him? Do you remember? Love the Lord your God with all your, I never get them in right order, heart, soul, mind, strength. That's it. That's right. And the second one's just like it. Important. Love your neighbor as yourself. That didn't mention the word worship at all. That's a strange place to start, Dwayne, if you wanted to find worship. Not strange at all. Worship is ascribing worth. And when you love him with your whole heart, you're ascribing some worth to God. You're saying, you're so important to me, I'll love you all the time. I'll love you when nobody's looking. I'll love you all the time. Okay, imagine, now my wife lives up in Louisville now. We both grew up in this area, but she and I, we have a church up there we're working in. She's up in Louisville, so she, and this is not being recorded, so if I talk about her, it's between us, okay? But imagine that, now she's heard this illustration before, and she's okay with it, I guess, but imagine that I, or hey, how many husbands do we have in the room? We got a few of you. All right, imagine you, husband, like I have been guilty of sometimes, saying, I love you, honey, I love you. And just pour it on thick. Oh, honey, you're just so greatest. I love you. And then go away for a few days and not ever contact or make any connection with her at all and not think about her apparently at all. And then about 7 days later, about the same time, about the same place, you come back and you say, honey, I'm back here to tell you that I love you. Oh, I just love you. Awesome. And then you go away. Thankfully, I hadn't done this yet. That really get me in trouble. But say you do it again. And you walk away again. And for another whole week, you don't call her. You don't contact her. You don't connect with her. And then you come back and on that, about 7 days later, about the same time, same place, say, honey, I'm here to tell you I love. Stop. I don't want to hear it. Why would she say that? Why would she do that? Ladies, talk to me. Come on. Because we totally disignored her during the week. You can't do that and stay married very easily. But yet, why do we try to pull that off with God? We'll come in here and say, wow, look, it's awesome. And we'll sing these songs and we'll participate in worship. But yet, we don't talk to him. We don't think about him during the whole week. Is he convinced? Is it convincing anybody, really, that you're truly loving him? No. And that's the essence of worship, that it starts on the inside of us. And I want you to notice it says, let the word of Christ dwell richly within you. This is very, very important because that's how the word, that's how the praise gets started. It starts warming you up on the inside. Do you remember in Luke chapter 24? Luke 24, there was a couple disciples that were walking along this road and Jesus had, you know, he had been crucified and they were depressed. Remember this story? And then who appeared to them on that road to Emmaus? Remember? Jesus did. Jesus appeared to them and started talking. Now, they didn't know it was Jesus. They didn't know who it was. But what did he do? Do you remember in Luke 24? He opened the scriptures to them and he taught them about himself. Well, it got them so excited, they invited a perfect stranger into their house. Say, hey, we're to our destination. Come on in. Let me serve you. Let's eat together. Listen, you don't just do that with a stranger. You do that with somebody that you've already got a warmed up relationship with. That's how it works with our Jesus. He comes to us and he meets us where we are and he warms our heart up with him. Woo! Do you remember the day you trusted Jesus as your Savior, how it warmed up your heart? Do you remember? Or has it been that long ago you don't remember? My now 21-year-old got saved at a church not far from here in Arab. And we went over to Captain D's in Arab that night. And he walked around everybody. He didn't even know him. Say, I'm saved. I got saved. He didn't do that anymore. But he was really excited back as an 8-year-old. He still shares his faith, but not quite like that. But he was excited. You remember that warmth in your heart? That's what those disciples felt. And they didn't even know it was Jesus. And then they sat down and started talking to him and eating with him. And as soon as they broke that bread and ate the milk, he disappeared. And then their eyes were open and they realized that was Jesus. And here's what they said. And I think it's in verse 32, but I'm not 100% sure. Let me double check that. Yep, 32. It says, were not our hearts burning within us as he walked along the road with us? Listen, do you want to know what gets you warmed up and gets me warmed up? The Word of God. If you wonder why you come in here and it just doesn't feel right, I don't feel like praising today. I've been there too. I'm not judging you. I've been there more times than I like to admit. And usually it's because I haven't thought or focused on the Lord that week. Remember that old song, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus? Remember that? Anybody know that? Y'all know that? Well, what about if you've actually been trusting him all week? What a concept. Then if they start singing that song on Sunday, whoa, yeah, I've been doing that all week. And suddenly you make a connection with what's on the inside and it comes out. And so now we move from inward worship to something else. It's called upward. Everybody say upward. Upward is what most people think of when they think of the word worship. They think of the praise and the thanksgiving. Well, it is, man. We gave some of that today. When you sang, some of you lifted your hands, some of you clapped. I love Psalm 47:1. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. And then it says, shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. I remember in Cave Spring Baptist Church, not that far from here, a little lady named Aunt Bessie. I'm not making it up. That was her name. And she was a sweet little lady. And I was about a 7-year-old kid, 6-7-year-old kid. And I remember every 6 or 7 weeks or so in our little quiet church, honestly, it's a pretty quiet church normally, I'd be sitting up near here and back in there somewhere, we'd hear this, somebody go, ooh, ooh. It just got louder and louder. After a while, we knew what it was, Aunt Bessie. Now, at first, we kind of laughed at her. We kind of made fun of her. We thought it was funny. And then I began to grow up a little bit, and I watched her life, and that woman really loved God. She was like, really loved God. She got a lot of people around her thinking about the Lord, and she witnessed that she loved God. And so here's what I began to realize. I'm not encouraging you to do this, okay? But if that were to happen before we blow it off, what I realized in that little church is maybe that was the moment God was saying, I'm doing something in this room and you better take notice. Yeah. Shouting, praising him that way. All these ways are done with our body. Clapping, shouting, singing, they're done with our bodies. It's called upward praise and it's going to bubble out of you. Okay? It's going to bubble out sometimes at the most inconvenient times, but it'll bubble out of you because that's how it happens. You may be sitting at a department store or a grocery store, and you may be listening to some music or maybe thinking about a song you just heard and it's going over and over in your mind, and suddenly it just bubbles out. My wife and I were driving back a couple weeks ago now from Atlanta. We did a night of worship over there, and we were driving back from that. And I was tired, so I kicked back, and she was driving. I was trying to sleep. Well, I really wasn't sleeping. She thought I was sleeping, but I wasn't. We had Spotify on radio, and we're playing some Christian songs. And that song, Oh Glorious Day, or maybe it's called Glorious Day by Casting Crowns. You know that song? It talks about his resurrection, coming back, and it's a really awesome song. It's a great song. Well, my wife is one of the best drivers that I've ever seen. She's very, very careful. She uses both hands on the wheel. I'm not making fun. This is really amazing. I should learn from this. I haven't, but I should. That she keeps both hands on, she's very safe. But she thinks I'm asleep, so I'm over here like this. And I noticed during I don't know how she did it, but I was during, she managed to keep both hands on the wheel. But during that glorious day when it talked about rising, he's justified or whatever it says. Here comes one of those hands, boom, just like that. And she started singing. She didn't know that I heard her because she didn't want to be heard, but I heard her singing. Boom. You see, when the praise is on the inside of you, it's going to come out. It may not be at church either. See how that works? Now, he goes on to say in this passage, through hymns, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's how we do this, with all wisdom, teaching one another with, admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing to God, that's how we do it. Now, so here's what I want you to notice, is that this, we don't know what that means exactly, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. It's been explained in a lot of ways. Theologians can't completely agree. But one thing we can agree on, it's a variety of songs. It's not just your songs. It's not just my songs. It's a variety of songs. See? It's a variety of songs that allow us to praise Him. And the thing they should all have in common is they're filled with scriptural truth. Why? Because what is it that heats us up? What is it? Tell me. The Word of God. So you give me a song that's scripture filled that talks about the Word of God and gives me truths from the Word, it's going to start getting me excited. It's not so much about the style. In Ephesians 5:19, Paul didn't say, sing to one another in spirit, psalms, hymns, spirit songs. He said, speak to one another in those hymns. I wonder why. I think it's because he was more interested in the lyrics than the melody. How many people either used or know that there was a hammer used on your house to build it? I'm assuming that pretty much everybody had a hammer involved. Right? If I were to go to your house, would I see that hammer anywhere? Would I see it on a plaque, maybe on the wall? Would I see it memorialized? No, people don't say, hey, look at that beautiful hammer. They go, no, look at the house. They don't really care that much about the hammer. The hammer's just a tool. It's just a tool that built the house. Let me tell you what our songs are. Don't get so hung up on that one song. My mom, some of the songs we grew up singing, driving back through there, had all those memories. She passed away back in October, and those memories still flood my soul. I'll be honest with you. It was kind of challenging to come through there, to be honest. And I started singing those songs like, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. We went around all over the country singing that song as a duet. And I just wish my music director would sing that song. I love that song. Nothing wrong with that. This, seriously, but don't get hung up on your song. That song is a tool that God used in my life when I was a teenager to teach me something, to instruct me that I can lean on Jesus. Now I got some new songs like Cornerstone. How about that today? I didn't grow up singing that song, did y'all? They changed that melody. What were they thinking? The words. Did you hear the words? Amazing. Don't get hung up on the tool. It's just a tool that built the house. Don't get hung up on your songs. They're just tools to build the house of God. Amen. I tell you, we instruct one another and we learn from our music. And so upwardly we praise Him when we come together. Isn't that awesome? Now, what I didn't tell you is that my wife, not only was she... Did she raise her hand like that? But she got my attention while we were driving down the road, and I was watching her now, buddy. I had that eye barely open. I didn't want to let her know I was watching. A little sneaky, but I was. So I was kind of watching. And so we got to the next song. The next song on the radio list was Indescribable, Uncontainable. Remember that song? It's by Laura Story. Chris Tomlin sung it. It's a great song. Well, that came on the radio, and she started singing along with that one. I didn't even know she knew that one. She started singing. But here's what happened. You know, I told you about this, right? Oh, she was just getting warmed up inside. It was just starting to happen. My wife loves the Lord, man. She loves Him. Here's what happened. Now, if there's any police in the room, please forgive her. Because when she got to that Indescribable song, her hand came completely off the steering wheel. Just like that. See, and if it bubbles out of us like that, that's when I go, I think that's real. I'll tell you when I really begin to notice it's real is if you do it during a storm in your life. Some of you folks in here have been through some storms that are beyond my imagination. I don't even know what you've been through. Don't pretend to relate. Wouldn't know. But he was sharing with us last night his story. And I appreciate you taking a few minutes and share that at a dinner table last night. Buddy, I don't know if I could be sitting here today and have a smile on my face like you do after having lost your wife and your story. But you know what? He is. And that shows me that he knows he's connected with a God that's above our circumstances that says, you know what, even in the midst of it all, even through the hard times, I'm still going to praise him. Amen? Amen? And that's the idea of upward worship. You're not going to keep me from doing it. I'm going to keep on praising him. But listen to what happens. Just like it did with me last night when Buddy was sharing his story with us around the table, it bubbled out onto us. And that night when she didn't know I was watching, her praise bubbled out on me. And those of you who are involved with ministries, I know homeless ministries, other things you do here, do you know that that's a part of worship? Check this out. Not only is it inward, everybody say inward worship. Not only is it upward, but I want you to see what it says in the same verses we read in the last verse there, verse 17 of the two we read. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, this is where it becomes something else. It becomes not only inward, that's where it starts, boils up in outward and upwardly, but now it boils onto other people. It spills onto somebody else. And whatever we do in word or deed, we care enough to do it in the name of Jesus. Because if we don't do the second part of that commandment, not only loving him with my whole heart, mind, soul, strength, but also loving my neighbors myself, I will question whether it's true worship. Jesus shed his blood and went to the cross and agonized, not just for you and not just for me, but a whole world that needs to see him and needs to know him. And if I don't care about them, and if I keep my worship to myself, let me ask you a question. If it's just about me and God having my little moment, woohoo, Lord, love you, and I keep that to myself, why don't I just go into heaven? Won't I do a better job there? Would. I'll see him face to face there, won't we? So I will worship him as I should because I'll see him face to face. But why he leaves us here is to let that praise bubble out onto somebody else. To be a blessing, to speak in his name, to represent him to those around us is what we are supposed to do. And so our goal is to not only get warmed up on the inside, our goal is to let it bubble out in the form of praise. But don't just do it alone. Don't just do it when no one else is watching. Don't just do it in this church house. When you go out there, by sharing your faith, giving a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, ministering to other people, that is a part of worship too. For years, I did not know that. But that's a part of worship. Well, I say, I don't get this, Dwayne. Why is it a part of worship? Because Jesus loves them, and he keeps us here to show forth our praises of what he's done in our life. I shared this story last night, and I'll share it with you when I was in Plano, Texas, doing a crusade out there with some other churches. This guy came to pick me up from the hotel to take me over to the crusade site, and he was excited about singing in the choir. And I told the choir about this last night. And I said, why are you so excited? He said, I got to tell you, it's because when I was a grown man, I went to church for the first time, and I went in, and I saw a bunch of worshipers. I didn't know what they were then. I just saw that they were excited, and they looked like they were enjoying themselves, and it got my attention, and what they did was proclaim through their praises about Jesus, and I was ready to get saved before the service was even over. I was ready to get saved because their praise bubbled all out on me, and I can't wait to go to choir tonight to let my praise bubble off on other people. Isn't that a cool story? It's always an inconvenient time. It never works when I plan it to. I've been waiting for this thing for 5 minutes. But that's kind of the thing about praise. It never really happens just when you plan it. You try your best to plan it on cue praise. And it never really works that way. Because if it's bottled up on the inside, if it's warming up, it's just going to come out sometimes when you don't expect it. Now, you didn't know. Isn't that annoying? You didn't know praise could be annoying. Could you? Well, not to us, but to the enemy it can. So we're just going to take that thing right off there, aren't we? Did you even realize it was heating up all that time? I had my doubts as well. But anyway,
Thank you, Lord.
You didn't notice it. It's on the inside. You don't pay attention to it. But now you know, don't you? And here's the thing about our praise. When it's heating up on the inside through the Word of God, just getting to know Him more, spending time with Him, no matter what, you can put your thumb over it. You can try your best to keep it in there. But it's going to come out. I want to give you five ways as we close. I want to give you five things you can do to keep a hot heart. When I was a teenager, for that matter, I was speaking at a pastor's conference as a teenager. And this elderly pastor came up to me afterwards. And he said, Dwayne, keep that hot heart. He kind of hit me, got this right here in the chest. Keep that hot heart. Man, it's one of the most profound things I've ever heard. And it's so important. I've been a Christian like for a long time, bro. Long, long time. Got saved when I was 6. 52. That's a long time. And I can still, even to this day, if I don't do the things we're about to talk about, it's like somebody just took me off the heat. So you need to take notes. You need to listen, because it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. Is it not true? As soon as you take it off the heat, it cools down. I want to give you some pointers of how you can turn on the heat. Okay? Number one, set your mind on Jesus every day. Okay? This may sound real simple. Everything I'm about to say is simple. It's not hard. It's simple. But I thank God it keeps it simple for us. When you get up from your bed, I mean, if you're like me, you're just trying to wake up and orientate where in the world you are when you wake up. But if you can, get in a habit. Before you get up and do anything else, before you talk to anybody else, just go right beside, if you're physically able, some of you may not be, and just kneel beside your bed, only for a moment. Only for a moment. It doesn't have to be long. It can be long, but it doesn't have to be. And just say, Lord, this is your day. Thank you for letting me wake up today. Check this out. Lord, what do you want me to do today? And you get up about your business and don't forget what you prayed. But that's how you give your day to God and you set your mind on Him. Number two, read and meditate on His Word. You don't have to do it, I guess, every day. I don't think you have to, legalistically speaking. But I can't imagine going, I don't like skipping meals. I love meals. I love to eat. So I kind of don't like to skip meals, and I don't want to skip reading God's Word that feeds me and heats me up every day. So maybe you don't have to, technically, but I can't imagine going a day without reading His Word. Number three, confess your sins quickly. You know what? I haven't cut it off yet, and I need to. Here's what happens. When you keep a sin in your heart, it may be a little bitty sin you think nobody notices. God knows. It's not little to Him. And it shuts you off, shuts off your fellowship. If you wonder why there's no joy anymore, hello, maybe it's because there's some unconfessed sin. Now, the stuff that you've confessed, it's gone. Don't let the devil bring that up to you anymore. But if you've not confessed, you're harboring that. It's like you're doing what I need to do right here. It's cutting off the heat, except you don't want to cut off the heat, do you? Don't want to, but you just did by the unconfessed sin. So number three, confess it quickly. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to do what? Anybody know that? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Number four, thank God for something every day. This is important. It says in verse 16, with gratitude in your hearts. And then verse 17, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. What I want you to notice about this passage, if you haven't heard what I've said, don't miss this, please. We said that passage in verse 16 and 17, Paul walks us through the inward, starting within us, to through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, we let it come out of us in upward praise. And then we talked about how we do everything in His name. That's the outward to other people. But Paul is smart, and he wraps it back around, and he brings it back to the heart. It always comes back to that. When he says, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Thankfulness starts on the inside, man. So every day, whether you like it or not, whether you're really thankful or not, for everything, say, Lord, I may not like this, but I thank You that You're in charge in the midst of it, and I choose to be thankful. It's like a habit you build. These are holy habits we're giving you. Build this habit in your life. It'll heat you up. And finally, pray for somebody else every day. Oh boy, I don't have any problem praying for myself, but I don't really like taking so much time to pray for somebody else. But if you'll do that, it'll take that worship from here to here to there. Let's pray. Father, I don't want to go through the motions anymore. We know the truth. The truth can set us free. We know that it starts on the inside. It starts with knowing you as our Savior, actually. God, you know our hearts today. You know all about us. You've turned your light on and you've exposed our hearts for good or for bad. You've exposed them today. And so the question really is, how hot is our heart for you? For those in the room that don't know you as their Savior, their heart is cold. It's separated from you, and there is no way for them to get to you on their own. For people in this room that never trusted your Savior, they've been trying maybe to fake it on the outside, but on the inside, they know they don't have peace. They know they lack the joy. They know they've never trusted you, put their faith and trust in you as their Savior. They know that. Well, God, we pray that today they would quit putting it off and quit trying to fake anybody else off. God, just come on us. Come clean. Put that kettle on the hot plate for the first time ever in their life when they allow you to change their heart and life. For those of us in the room that know you as our Savior, we pray, if our hearts have grown cold, God, that we would confess and forsake and learn how to warm up our hearts. And it starts by letting you just cleanse us and give us peace and joy restored today. Lord, we love you. We pray this in your name. Amen. Chuck's going to sing, "I Surrender All."